Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to the day after what was decisively one of the worst results since the last worst result in Millwall's recent history, which there's been quite a few, one way and the other. We speak 24 hours on from yesterday's poor result up there at Rotherham. Let's be quite honest. Listeners, let me welcome you to St. Achtung's Day. What's that? You might cry listening to this podcast. St. Achtung's Day, dear listeners, is the day that comes each season, I find, it's a lot in recent years, where I am officially bored of the Millwall season. I'm bored of the mediocrity. I'm bored of the shambolic way that our club is often managed and run. And today, therefore, is St. Achtung's Day. Welcome to St. Achtung's Day. I'll have to try and think of some celebratory rituals that go on today. It's the voicemail show, one of my favourite shows. We're probably going to have quite a bit of content for you this afternoon, dear listeners. Big thank you to everyone for sending their content into us. Do join in. Do get in touch with us via X. You can send me your voice notes on X, on the Twitter, as it used to be called, by direct message. Just select the sound option and speak, basically. Or if you prefer to send me a voice note via good old-fashioned WhatsApp, then let's exchange numbers. Message me on X. You can even email me, to be honest, achtungmillwall@gmail.com. We'll do a swapsy of numbers. And you can join the gang that contribute to these shows. And I really appreciate each and every one that does. So on this St. Achtung's Day, I'm going to begin a collective release of pent-up emotion following yesterday's 2-1 loss up there at Rotherham. By far the worst team in our division for some considerable time. We've contrived to lose 2-1 at a team that's conceded 80 goals. But let's begin our review of those proceedings yesterday with Craig Jones. Take it away, Craig.
Hello, Nick. Hello, Acton. I once again return to the councillor's couch to have a lie down and think about what happened today and to process my thoughts. Talking hypothetically for a moment, like a squash ball, to get it warmed up you need to smack it against the wall multiple times really hard so it warms up and gets some bounce. And I feel like we were banging our balls against the wall and they were getting hot. That's when Neil Harris came in. And now we're just not bothering because we've become complacent. And now our balls are stone cold and there's no bounce. Anyway, enough of my ball talk. Instead of the balls in the wall, our heads are banging the wall. Bloody hell, what a result. All I can think now is it's put unnecessary pressure on the team and the squad, and even Harris to an extent. In his post-match, he sounded quite hoarse, which makes me think he was doing a fair amount of verbal justice towards quite a lot of the team today. It is undeniable that Huddersfield at home is now a huge six-pointer. looking at the game, yeah, first half was turgid. Apart from Fleming's chance that was, again, seemed to be the start of very many good saves by the Rotherham keeper, we just don't seem to put the effort in until we really need to. I've seen a lot of comments about its usual Harris hoofball and relying on set pieces. If that is what will keep us up this season, that is what will keep us up. But in this game, it did fuck all. And now we are looking straight down the barrel. The gun, well, I say the gun, is actually League One. League One. Anyway, you get the idea. I think we won't go down. I think actually Plymouth will take that third spot. Rotherham are all but down, but really, I can't even pick out a man of the match, to be honest. And that says a lot about the performance. I really hope, talking to Guns, I hope Harris gave the team both barrels. And a big shout out to Murray Wallace. That was a horrible, horrible collision between him and Sam Nombe. And he didn't look like he was with it, even if he did try jumping up, and that was more a, I think that was him just trying to be more of the man and trying to show that it wasn't hurting when clearly the lights were on but no one was home. But yeah, hopefully it's nothing too serious and doesn't lead to anything like a concussion. But yeah, that is one big backward step and roll on Saturday, because we really do need to pull our fingers out and just get results in the day. I don't care about performances. I don't care that people are saying, oh, can't deal with another year of Harris. Who knows? He may well end up walking again if he feels it's right for the club. He's done it once before, he'll do it again. Or call him back to Joe Edwards. No, Joe Edwards, I was one of these people that was saying, trust in the process. In the end, his head was gone after the Ipswich game. And he's not someone we can revisit, so there needs to be, from the top to bottom in the summer, a humongous rethink about how we play, what our identity will be, and who are the personnel that we'll bring in and that we can afford. And that's down to the recruitment, scouting, and pushing some of these youngsters that clearly can play football and can put the ball in the back of the net, and trying to get them through quicker than I would anticipate, because face it, if we're not going to be up, then League One needs to be a lot of blood in the youth in, if we're in League One. But if we're in the Championship, you know, come on, we need the money. We do not want to be in that turgid League One, because that is going to be embarrassing. Anyway, take care, everyone. Keep the faith.
Huge thank you to Craig there. I've written a few notes down as you were speaking there, Craig. I've got Balls to the Wall, which I believe was a band called Accept, a heavy rock band from, I believe, the 90s or the late 80s, called Accept. I don't know why I've written Balls to the Wall down. I think it was your ball metaphors earlier on. Were we complacent yesterday, listeners? That's a good point that Craig's making there. We certainly showed no urgency in a first half that largely drifted by. There was one shot from Zian Fleming on about 30 minutes or so that the goalkeeper, who was very good, incidentally, if we do survive, I hope that we've got that man's phone number on speed dial, because I thought the goalkeeper really kept Rotherham in it. The frustrating thing with yesterday, dear listeners, for me, was we weren't good. I mean, let's not be honest, be truthful here. We played overall poorly to contrive a loss at a place like Rotherham, given their season is poor. But we did create enough chances, which in the second half particularly, a couple in the first half. I think Jake went close in the first half, and there were a few chances in the second. And on another day, maybe one or two of those go in the net, and we were talking about a different outcome. They didn't go in the net yesterday. That's been a thing that's haunted us for a long while now, that lack of ability to finish. So, given that it was a poor result, and slightly contradicting myself there, we did create some decent chances during the second half particularly. So very frustrating to then give away probably both goals. I've not actually had a chance to see either goal back. I'm doing this blind, and I haven't had the moment to look at the YouTube footage today, but both in real time struck me as situations where the defence slightly went asleep. Now, whether that's complacency, thinking that the job has been done, that we've got enough of a cushion to see us through to the end of the season, Yeah, that is complacency. Whether that is the case, or not, only Neil Harris will know. You mentioned Neil Harris there, Craig. I'm going to play Neil's post-match conversation with Mill TV now. Let's have a listen to his hoarse voice, because I think you're probably right that he probably told a few home truths in that dressing room. Let's have a listen to Neil now.
Just give us your thoughts on that one.
Honestly, I don't know how we've lost that game. You know, well, I do, because we weren't ruthless in one box, and at the other end, we're just too easy to score against. I think, you know, at 60 minutes, they've had a shot from 30 yards that Matty saves, and their fans are seeing we've had a shot. And then, you know, the score of the second shot, because we don't do the basics of football well enough by getting tight enough to stop shots. And then we get ourselves back in the game, and we should go on and win the game. And as the amount of chances we've had, you know, players could be walking off with the match ball today, and we haven't been ruthless or clinical enough. And then to concede like we did at the end of the game is, you know, is poor from us as a group, poor defending, but, you know, really disappointing. Sometimes it just doesn't go for you.
Now, Neil is, of course, right. Football being the proverbial funny old game doesn't always go for you. That's correct. I think Rotherham maybe only had those two shots on target. There might have been one other moment. I haven't got my notes in front of me as I'm speaking to you now, listeners. But, you know, let's be really honest. We should have won that game yesterday. And we did enough, despite not being brilliant, to have won it. And we didn't. Now, this is not a Neil Harris thing. This has bedevilled Millwall Football Club in a number of situations. I'm thinking back even to this season, going to places like QPR, and then last season, anyone that went up to Wigan last year, like I Muggins did here, will tell you that we have an endemic problem with big situations. And as much as you know, some might not want to hear it, yesterday was a big situation. We've got Leicester, Huddersfield away next week now, which is going to be a huge match, and then Leicester at home is another huge match. Yesterday was highly winnable, and a win yesterday would have put salvation, if not in our grasp, it would have been very, very close. So to have allowed that to get away from us in such poor circumstances speaks, for me, volumes for the basic footballing nous, backbone, whatever, spine, whatever way you want to put it, choose your own words, of this squad. Because they failed us a few times in big situations over Gary Rowett, Joe Edwards's, and now, yesterday at least, under Neil Harris's reign. So there's a squad there that really does need pruning. Like we're all going to be doing our gardens soon now that the weather's improving. That's a squad that needs big time pruning for me, and it might need one or two big names to see the door, because when something so fundamental fails you, you've got to look at some pretty basic points and questions. Anyhow, there we are. That was Neil Harris's post-match thoughts. He's probably sharing what most of us has said, really, one way or the other. Let's have a listen to Jim Littler. Let's go with Jim next.
Hello, Nick. Jim Littler. Not long back after the bank holiday Monday in the glorious Rotherham. Where do we start with that one, mate? I said to the boy on the way up that this could be a potential banana skin today, but I felt with Harris in charge, he'd have him up for it and we'd come away with the result we needed. But fucking hell, what an embarrassment that was today. I think we can safely say you can have anyone in charge of this team, and when it comes down to it, there's just no bollocks in it. There's not one of them today that I felt could come out with that with any sense of feeling. They've left everything out on the pitch. And he's put us right back in it again. I was thinking that we were probably one or two wins away from just getting this wretched season out of the way, to be honest. But here we are again. 6-pointer, well, probably a 12-pointer on Saturday, because if Huddersfield beat us, we're fucking really hard back in it. But I don't know, mate. I'm not sure where we go from here. I think Harris has obviously done really well since he's come back with this group of players, but there's so many things wrong with this team, it's unbelievable. I think the highlight of the game really was coming out the ground and the Millwall fans trying to break the cages down. There's been a bit of excitement from the old day, to be honest. Fucking fuming again, mate. Anyway, Huddersfield Saturday. Let's see how we get on there. Cheers, Nick. Ta-da.
Cheers, Jim. Well done for going yesterday, mate. And 900 others went up there. Yes, they came over really well on the TV stream, really loud. You know, it's a soulless place, Rotherham, at the best of times, isn't it? I went up there a few years ago, and it's the stadium reminded me of the world's flashiest and biggest Sports Direct warehouse that's been somehow left in the middle of an industrial wasteland by a group of aliens or something. So, you know, it's not a pleasant day out, as Jim said there. Harris, I think you're right. I mean, I think you touched on the same point that I've just made before. You started speaking there, Jim. I do believe there are some fundamental flaws, not in playing terms, not ability, because obviously championship level players across all the clubs are not going to be Premier League level players. So every club in our division will start with players that have good strong points and then some flaws that are keeping them at this second tier level. But the spine question is the one that you've touched on there, Jim, and I am agreeing with you. I mean, as we've said already on this show, most of our shows in recent times, really, this squad fails us in big moments, in big situations. They've got to look at themselves. They should look at themselves. If they listen to any of these podcasts or any of the others that the boys do around the Mill scene, I think most people will be reaching this conclusion that come big time situations, and as Jim said there, yesterday going to Rotherham was a big situation because we could have really, really put safety, champion, which is massively important. Championship safety is worth a huge amount of money to Millwall Football Club. They could have put it within grasp and they failed us again. I don't know what lies at the heart of that. They'd have to get on the councillor's couch, like Craig said at the start of today's show. We certainly were not up for it. You're right, Jim, and that's a major, major problem. I don't know what Neil Harris can do, because his management style gets a lot of criticism, and many, many people around the scene today on Twitter have criticised his approach and his tactics. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know that you've got a huge amount of variation possible with this, the palette of the artist at Millwall, because the squad are only so good. I don't, as Harry said, he put it really well yesterday. They're really not very good. So you're working with pony materials, basically, in the end, compared with many other clubs. So I don't really know. You might tinker with some of the tactics, but in the end, with the injuries that we've got, there's probably limits as to what any manager could do with this squad. So at the moment, I think it's a little bit early to be picking up Neil Harris for yesterday's results. Would be interesting to see what happens in the summertime, because as we've said a few times, and I inwardly laugh as I say this, listeners, because, you know, for various reasons, I am not sure of the quality of the management of the club, and I'm not talking about the first team management, I'm talking about the quality of the administration of our dear little football club, to set a strategic direction and set a manager in place with the cajonies to take on some fairly entrenched players, because I think we do need to wield an axe this summertime. I know some will be wielded, pruned, got rid of because their contracts are coming up. Others won't be. But there's a few kind of vested interests, I think, knocking around our club, and that's been so for a long time, I know. But that's going to be at the root of it, whoever's in charge. My own view, Joe Edwards, Neil Harris, Gary Rowett. One manager's as good as another, but if your squad won't play for you or let you down, like this squad have, then it doesn't matter who you are. It could be Jose Mourinho, it could be Pep Guardiola. If they won't play for him, unless you're going to go out there and take the ball for them, then, you know, it's not going to get you very far. Anyway, big thank you to Jim Littler there. Let's go move along now. Let's have Matt Webb up next.
Morning, Nick. Matt Webb here. Fuck me. Well, come on. We all know what things like this happen. I refer to the 22nd of April last year, Wigan away. That's sticks in my memory. It's another case of the Millwall away day atrocities. Let's just put it like that. Now, I'm not going to comment too much on the game, because if I'm really honest, mate, I didn't actually watch it. So I won't comment on anything that I didn't see. But I will comment is that yesterday's game was crucial in the season of Millwall Football Club. And I'll tell you this way. I thought before Easter, I said to myself, well, I was thinking 4 points, and we'll be home. We'll be home. We'll be safe. I can guarantee that, because I don't think we'll get sucked into it. And then we've come out of the Easter break with just one point. Not good enough. Why is it we go to teams like the Rotherham, who, to be fair, had to get a result today. They're fighting for their absolute lives. It was their cup final. And we lose. You know, I saw the stats. They didn't have much on offer, but they put them away. The biggest stat was 2-1 at the end of the day. But now, I look on, well, I reflect on what Neil says. He said he wants to make the Den a fortress. Fine, that's fine. But you got to do that away from home, mate. You have to be a team that are going to fight away from home just as much as being at home. Because I'm looking now at the remainder of the seasons. And we got to go back up to fucking Yorkshire on Saturday against Huddersfield, who again will be exactly like Rotherham, but better. Who are going to fight for their, and it's going to be their cup final. They're going to see that result yesterday and go, fuck me, we can turn Millwall over it. Hey, just 3 points closer to them, 3 points to get them sucked into it. And then what? We're back to just before Harris Kane, looking over our shoulders. And then what? After that game, we got Leicester, who, again, have wobbled a lot lately. So they brought Leeds and Ipswich into the mix, and they're like, right, well, we need to make ours a cup final as well, because we need to beat Millwall. So then what? We've got two teams coming up who have got something to play for at either end of the table, and then that's going to put us into the shit, in my opinion. That's why I mean how important Monday's game was. Following that, we've got, like I say, they're probably the on-the-beach teams, if we like to put it, except for the, with the exception of Plymouth. Plymouth at the moment, on the, what is it, the 27th, last home game of the season, that could be the, that could, at the moment, could be the game that either keeps us up or sends us down. Unless something changes, unless something in the next few games changes. Unless the players pull their socks up, butt their eyes and ears up, and get us over that line. Because I personally thought after the Leeds game, we'll be all right if we play like that. It was a. It's just shit, mate. It just really is. And obviously, this is the bipolar in me, because 1 minute I'm over the moon, and the next thing I'm down in the dumps with Millwall. But that's why I can't stress how much yesterday's result was benefactor. Couldn't give two shits about Rotherham. We should have been all about Millwall. And from the reports I'm hearing, yes, their goalkeeper pulled off great saves, X, Y, and Z. And yes, because they were up for it. We need to change that on our side now. We've got to be up for every fucking game to the end of the season. And it starts at Huddersfield. If the players do not turn up on Saturday with the fuck it, let's go for this, let's win this, let's turn them over, let's get safe mentality, we're banging it, mate. Players are playing for their shirt for next season. Fuck me, players are actually playing for a contract for next season. Do yourself a favour, lads. Start earning it. So come on, you Lions.
Yeah, well said, Matt. Just looking at some of the points you've made there, mate, I'm kind of intrigued as to where the motivation goes, listeners. Is it like, does it go down the bath plug hole when you have a wash in the morning or something like that? Because I'm just thinking, we've gone from being so good at places like Southampton and at home, was it Watford we beat at home? I'm losing track now. But we've had some really good, strong early results under Neil Harris. I hope I've got those two games right in my head. He's come in, he's made a splash, because we've gone from Joe Edwards with his more, what should we call it, his attempt at trying to create a more artistic style of play. That's probably not the right term, but I'm going to go with that. A more modern passing style, which we don't have the the tools for the job to do. In comes Neil Harris with his bulging kind of eyeballs approach, Millwall-ness. And it's probably taken the dressing room at least for a few games by storm. The problem, it seems, with that cup tie approach is that it runs out. It's like trying to maintain your excitement rates at maximum. You can only do it for so long, and then you have to start to replace it with some form of guile and some plan that goes beyond plan, you know, the kind of direct route as we've been employing. Maybe because we've been having to employ, I think. I don't think we've got the plans to really do much else other than how we're trying to play at the moment, in my opinion. But the motivation is it costs nothing. Skill and talent and technique, yes, that costs a lot of money. And as the league table shows, the teams with the most money and therefore the most technique and talent and all the rest of it are at the top, and the teams that aren't are fighting relegation. Here we are now back in it, as Matt has said, 4 points away from Huddersfield in the third spot. A huge game looming on Saturday. Do we have the flat for it? Do we really have the belly for it? A good few callers have questioned that. I'm questioning it, listeners. I bet you are too, listening to this wherever you are around the world. But that's going to be the crucial question. I kind of don't see it. Wished I did. Anyway, let's move along. A big thank you there to Matt Webb. We're going to listen to John Rankin, though. I think was up there yesterday at Rotherham.
Hi, Nick. Hi, listeners. John Rankin just calling in with a match report after the very disappointing loss up at the New York Stadium against Rotherham. And, first of all, big shout out to the travellers, the fans that travelled. I didn't go personally. I watched it on the TV, and I'm glad I didn't travel because that was a tough one. Scrappy first half. Didn't really know what to make of it, to be honest with you. I thought we had lots of chances. It speaks volumes that their goalie was their man of the match, I suppose. We had a couple of sitters that we missed. It was looking like a long, drawn-out sort of war of attrition, really, but we looked pretty comfortable. I fancied us to win it. And then they just scored that goal in the second half with the right-back coming in on his left foot. And I couldn't quite believe that he'd gone in. I mean, it was such a weak goal, really. The goalie was well out of position, and he wasn't closed down out on the flank. And, you know, it sort of led to chaos, really. We lost our shape. We lost our game plan. Jake Cooper ended up sort of drifting around up front, and there was gaps at the back. We applied pressure and we got a scrambled goal in the second half. And then there was another attack down their right side, our left side, leading to another goal, a cross in, and Tanganga got sort of elbowed to one side. He can't complain that he was pushed, even if he was, because, you know, he should be standing up to that, really. And there it was. Dreadful performance, really. And I can't quite put my finger on what was missing there. Maybe a bit of tiredness or a lack of imagination. I don't think the subs were too well thought through, to be honest with you. And I don't think our shape was that good. Our midfield was a little bit non-existent. We gave them far too much of the ball, and all round, it was a pretty ordinary performance, wasn't it, really? To be honest with you, I'll be glad when this season's over. It's been a long, hard haul. There's not been a lot of joy. There was that little run at Christmas under Joe Edwards, actually, when we beat Norwich at home and had a little sort of upsurge. That soon fell away. And then, obviously, the Southampton victory, which we went to. There's been a few highlights, a few things to remember. But generally speaking, it's been a long, hard haul. And I'll be glad to see the back of the 23-24 season, hoping that we stay up in the Championship. I think we're 19th now, so if we don't perform against Huddersfield and Leicester, we could be right back in it again. So, who knows? Gaila.
Sounds like St Achtung's Day's come to your place too, John. I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. I'm bored stiff of this season, dear listeners. I'm bored stiff of the chopping and changing of the managers, the chopping and changing of, you know, the players, the dreary nature of much of what we've had to watch for a long time. It's fluttered a little bit, obviously, with the return of Neil Harris, a bit of drama. But if that goes... got very little to play with at the Den. I was reading one of the press, I think it was a press conference, and it might have been on the news at Den, I think, but I could be wrong. But I think Neil Harris made reference to the mental strength or lack of that we've displayed, and I think we've displayed that many, many times over this season, last season, a couple of times in the past. Because it's not the first time that we've been embarrassed by lesser opponents without being in any way disrespectful to Rotherham. I know that it's easy to take the piss out of Rotherham and the fact that it's like much of the North, it's become destitute through lack of industry. I'd love to see our country try and turn that around, recover a bit of pride in these places. I don't come from Rotherham, but, you know, this is the heartland of England, and we've got to start trying to do something with these places. And so I'm not knocking Rotherham, but they approached it, as I think others have said, as their cup final, and we didn't display any mental strength, listeners. John's just said the midfield was non-existent. We saw the return of Casper De Noor yesterday, and a few people have commented on the YouTube stream about you know, they're failing to see what the big fuss is over Casper De Noor. I do think we slightly get a bit giddy and in awe. I've caught myself a few times over the years getting a bit giddy in awe of anyone foreign who can pass the ball and looks like they've got a bit of, in Casper's case, a bit of Dutch or Flemish Dutch, you know, spin about them. I think we probably all fall for that a little bit. It's the fate of the Englishman to be a bit struck by anyone foreign with a fancy kind of turn of phrase or ball. So I also, John, will be glad when this season is done. I do think it's crucially important that we survive. Whether this squad is capable of survival, we're going to find out. Tiredness and lack of imagination, I think you said, John. Yeah, we did look a bit tired. But then, you know, every team in this division has got the excuse of being a bit tired at the 40-game mark. Rotherham would have that excuse. They've conceded 80 goals, listeners. 80 goals they've conceded all season. I think they've only won prior to us yesterday three times. We've gift-wrapped them their fourth win of the season. Minus 50 goal difference. So they're seemingly League One bound, and they look like it. But yesterday they took their chances. And we gift-wrapped them soft goals and defensive errors on hand. Well done to the 900, you mate. I thought you got up there, John, but you watched it on the telly. Good man. That's my... I actually caught myself, listeners, thinking about Sunderland. Can you believe that? I was thinking, shut up about Sunderland. It's a bit of a mirror of a journey, but I think I'm going to watch it on the telly. Anyway, there we are. Big thank you, John Rankin. Let's have a listen now to Jamie Mack in Australia.
Hello, Nick. Happy Easter. And Jamie here from Australia. Just wanted to have a really, really quick message just to say, going back to a message I left a few weeks ago about how the crowd would turn with being on the back of those tight decisions, as we saw in Rotherham, when we get lacklustre displays, as we have seen in Harris in the past, instead of these blood and guts performances where the football is pretty dour. And it appears my prediction is coming true. All I can say, though, is we need to get behind Harris. We need to support him until the end of the season. It doesn't matter if we finish by goal difference, just as long as we're still in this division next season. And then we will see how good our board and our chairman are and how they're going to go forward. And if they select Harris, then probably we'll put us in limbo for another year. I think a wholesale change is needed at the beginning of a season. Anyway, Nick, onwards and upwards. Come on, you Lions.
Cheers, Jamie. Yeah, happy Easter to all of our Australian listeners over there in the Antipodes. New Zealand, Australia, America, Canada. I sound like the James Brown song, Living in America. Yeah, I've got to support Harris. It's the only game in town. A lot of people are calling for stupid things online, you know. Chopping and changing manager. We've certainly got nil to the end of the season. It's going to remain to be seen what happens with us. If we're relegated, Coming back from League One will not be an easy process, and you know Neil has done it with us in the past. I think if we survive or if we get relegated, he's probably going to be in position come August. So the main thing that strikes me is, if he is in position, that he builds and moulds a squad, axes some of the dead wood that's clear to see across the side at the moment, Jamie. And he's got to start bringing in some players with pace and power to play Neil Harris ball to the maximum. And, you know, let's wait and see what that produces. I think he will be in charge come August, listeners. I can't think, you know, unless he walks out the door, which he may do. But he's got an 18-month contract. I think he'll want to at least have a chance to have a crack at Championship football if we stay in the league. And, you know, to have a shot at the League One promotion if we get relegated. The interesting thing will be, what kind of squad can we mould? We do have some really promising youth players. I think one of the callers earlier on mentioned the youth. I was thinking as that caller, and forgive me, I can't remember who it was, so forgive me, caller. The last time that we really put faith in the youth, which is what you read a lot online as the kind of Millwall way, the last time we really put faith in the youth and really backed young players would be the Tim Cahill, Neil Harris era, which we was enforced upon us because we were in administration and there were no other way to do it other than one or two old salts that that kept the ship on direction. But we backed the Paul Ifills, the Stephen Reeds, the Neil Harrises and the Tim Cahills and all the others. So you're talking about 1998, 99, 2000 era, which is 25 years ago plus. So that's the last time we seriously backed the youth. We seem to produce a lot of good young players, but we don't seem to have the capability or the route map to bring them properly into the side, I think. Not on any grand scale, maybe individuals. But that was the last time we probably, as a team, backed the youth. So it's a long, long time ago. So anyway, happy Easter, Australia. Big thank you, Jamie Mack. We're going to go over to the switch to another former colony. big thank you, Chicago Joe, out there in what was once Her Majesty's North America, but now no longer, sadly.
Joe from Chicago. Fuck that. That was horrible. Proof that Neil Harris cannot be the manager of this team in August. He simply lacks tactics. He can get these guys up for certain games, but my word, was that pathetic. And the manager's inability to make changes was very concerning. Brooke Norton Cuffey needs to be on the pitch a lot more. He's probably our most talented player. But yeah, that was horrible. And of course, we give up two goals after our buddy Shane Ferguson comes on. Just awful. I really wish I hadn't watched that. Come on, you Lions. Gotta make it tough for us.
Thank you, Joe. Controversial stuff. Neil Harris cannot be the manager come August, says Joe from Chicago. It's going to be interesting once this season finally peters out to whatever conclusion it peters out to, Joe. I do agree. Changing the game doesn't seem to be Neil's strongest suit, does it? We seem to have one approach that we then kind of keep to come what may. Brooke Norman Cuffey, yeah, didn't see enough of him yesterday at all in a game. We didn't see really anything of Adam Mayor. Both are attractive winger type players, and at the moment, for whatever reason, Neil doesn't see that as the way forwards for us. There we are. I miss Shane Ferguson coming in. You could almost... I thought he would, if he did come in, and I missed it, the fact he did, so well done for spotting that, but I thought if he does play for him, he'll score, but probably, I think it was the instigator of one of their goals, and there we are, that's Millwall law, so to speak. But big thank you, Joe, in Chicago. Let's move along. We've got more content here for you, dear listeners. We're going to move along now to Jim Hackett.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Morning, Nick. Jim Hackett here. After a night thinking about yesterday's game, I don't know what to say, really. I think anybody who's a Millwall supporter for any length of time will understand that the 1st of April, definitely not a great day to have a game of football. And I think our inability to win games like that yesterday were sort of testament to the sort of club we are, the sort of teams we have. Since we came up from League One into the Championship, we've never been able to be a front foot team that can win games when we're favourites. We're a team that I think will work hard and win enough games against better opposition, and that keeps our method, our style and our history going. But whenever we're expected to win games, I think that's our downfall. When you look at our players, we don't have that many that could actually do anything different in a game, and our managers definitely don't want to see them start games anyway and make any difference. So I think it wasn't a great surprise yesterday that we ended up losing a game. I think the bigger surprise was the way we lost it, and when you watch the game, how little Rotherham had of it and yet still managed to score two goals. And unfortunately for us, we created a lot of chances, which for us is an unusual thing, but the lack of quality in finishing was woeful yesterday. I think Tanganga had a chance where, from a corner, he was the only one who was in any space and got the ball, Edic, and the keeper made a good save. And then the other one was over Femi, where I know Saville got in his way, but bloody hell, he's a striker. He should be finishing him off. And I think the other chances, you know, on another day might have gone in, but their keeper had a fantastic day. And, you know, unfortunately, he always seems to have a fantastic day against us. But it's what it is, and that's where we go. I think our bigger problems for me were that we were so expecting to win the game and pushing forward so much that our back line got caught. They got caught because they couldn't deal with a couple of attacks that Rotherham did have. And in both cases, I think if you ever watch it back, if anybody's got the inclination to watch any of the goals back, then you'll see Tanganga for the first one is in no man's land in the box. And instead of getting out and closing down the guy who had a shot, he sort of watches what's going on, doesn't move. And then by the time he thinks of moving, the guy's had the shot and Sarkic, the goal goes in. Again, I didn't look at him close enough to know whether he could have done any more with it or not. It was just such a shot that Rotherham took the lead. And then the second one, again, Tanganga is a centre-back. He's really got to come across and deal with that better. I think he got fouled by the looks of it. But unfortunately, on a game like that yesterday, we weren't going to get that sort of shout. There's a sort of roughness to what happens to us, and we seem to always suffer. And again, Sarkic, he made an attempt to get the ball, but it,
It's one of those days where nothing quite stuck to him and he didn't have that much to do, but what he had to do, again, I can't really say whether it was good or bad. It was just disappointing. As for the rest of the team, I can't actually think of anybody that played really badly. I think Casper Donore took a little bit of time to get in the game, but once he did, I thought he was excellent. Saville, to me, looked a little bit weary. And I don't know if that was down to the game before and he just didn't have it in his legs to start with. But when you looked at the team in the first half, it was so slow and so ponderous. It was like a game of one half yesterday because the first half passed everybody by. I know we could have had a couple of goals, but for their keeper or but for woeful finishing. But the first half was a non-entity. The second half, we showed a little bit more fire, a little bit more wanting to get hold of the ball, a bit more passion. But then after getting ourselves back in with an equaliser, and you thought there was only one way the game was going to go from there, to then lose the game to a second goal was a kick in the nuts for everybody, I think. And now we go to Huddersfield next, and possibly might be better for us because I think Huddersfield are a better team than Rotherham and will come at us because they need the points desperately. So if they're coming at us, it might just give us a chance to get something going forward. And sort of going back to what I say about people who didn't really play well yesterday, I thought Obafemi was a passenger yesterday. I couldn't see what he gave us at all. Even the pace that he's supposed to have didn't seem to stand out yesterday. And his finishing wasn't there. He struggled to stay on his feet. And I just think he's not a lone centre-forward. He's a sort of striker who should be in a two. And unfortunately, we haven't got the other one to make up the two. So well, I think he's going to have to keep ploughing along there and hope that we can just get our chances, get Fleming, get Watmore, who seems to be Neil Harris's flavour, get him into positions where he can actually create goals or score goals. But we'll wait to see for Saturday against Huddersfield. Oh, well. And on we go. So, come on, you Lions.
Big thank you, Jim. Yeah, we had chances aplenty, really, in what was a poor performance. Listeners, we've said it a few times already. And as Jim says, the first half we were very, very slow. Clearly a second half performance where the manager, Neil Harris, had given a rocket up their collective backsides. And we did come out with more pace and we looked much more likely to get a goal. Chance taking has bedeviled us for a long, long time. And I do agree with Jim about Obafemi. I like him. He's a strong striker. But he does need someone alongside him who would have worked really well with Steve Morrison in his pomp doing the kind of the Steve Morrison thing with Obafemi. But he has had a couple of chances recently that he's not taken. That could cost us hard. I haven't watched the goals back. Normally I do before I take on these shows just to get a sense of what happened. But I just cannot be bothered, listeners. And the reason I can't be bothered is that it's St. Achtung's Day today. I'm hoping that I find my mojo in time for the Leicester game. I can't watch next Saturday's game. We've got a family event next Saturday at Huddersfield. So we'll see where we stand after that. But yeah, I'm hoping I'll summon up the energy for the Leicester home game. I think you're right, Jim. We are not. We're not historically. We're not a front foot team. We are historically an underdog side that come out of our corner swinging and... sometimes you get chinned when you that's your fighting style, isn't it? Big thank you there, Jim Hackett. Always listen to Jim whenever he comes. I'm going to have a listen now to Glyn Horner, and then we'll follow that with Matt Richards. Take it away, Glyn, and then Matt.
Hi, Nick. Glyn here. I thought I'd just absorb both games over the weekend before commenting, but I'm obviously, it's not been the greatest of weekends. I mean, not bad to get, I guess, a draw out of the two games. But, it was not exactly an overwhelming weekend of football for us. I think one of the points I wanted to make out was that we now have a core of about seven players that are performing at a sort of 7 out of 10 level on a regular basis now. And in that, I would include sort of Tanganga, Leonard, Saville, Mitchell, Honeyman and Fleming. And because of that, I think that's probably going to get us through these final few games of the season. You know, with, if those sort of six or seven players can continue to maintain those performances, I should include Sarkic in that as well now. I think we've probably got enough to get us through the rest of the season and pick up, the sort of 5 or 6 points that we need to survive. Certainly looks like the bottom three are starting to drop points now, although obviously Birmingham have had a bit of a result. They probably will slip down as well. But it does, I think, raise the spectre of next season and what's going to happen. And unfortunately, I think if we wait until the last game of the season before we know exactly what league we're going to be in and signing players of any quality and the number of players we're going to need is going to be incredibly difficult. And I do worry that we have the infrastructure in place to replace that number of players and integrate them into a squad and working together by the time the season kicks off. And this goes back to a point I made, I think, previously, where I don't understand our scouting and recruitment setup. And, the club doesn't have to give away its family secrets to sort of tell us more about that. But if you read the book by Mike Calvin, The Nowhere Men, it really talks about how most clubs at our level actually don't have full-time paid staff on scouting. And, a lot of them are doing it, they're scouting and getting just the bare minimum of expenses and mileage paid. And I do wonder if that's something that we're suffering from. And, maybe that's an area of investment that really needs, some looking at by the senior management of the club. I've got to say, I think Cooper's levels are dropping now. I think Tanganga's now covering for him in a lot of aspects of his game. And Tanganga is, turning out to be a superb player. I think Danny Mack came on and, filled. I think he was unfairly dropped. He made that one mistake, but actually his performances have been good. And when he slotted into centre-back at one point, he looked actually a very, very good centre-back player. So I actually feel that, putting Murray Wallace in ahead of him was a strange decision from Harris. I don't know why he did that. I don't fully understand and support it. And, he came in and looked like a player who hadn't been playing for a few games and probably didn't do his reputation with Harris huge credit yesterday either. But, he will try. And when he's on a run of form, he will be a good player for us. I think Watmore for me and Obafemi just don't cut the mustard. Obafemi is unfortunately a hard worker, a bit like Bradshaw, but he just doesn't have that clinical sort of finishing aspect to his game. Watmore, he's all effort and hustle and bustle, and he puts in a good performance, but in that regard, but when you put him in front of goal, I mean, the guy's he's not really got a head on his shoulders for putting the ball in the back of the net. And there was one point at which he had a shot at goal yesterday where Honeyman sat clearly in the middle of the open goal and, held his head in his hands when Watmore flashed it over the bar. I think the keeper may have tipped it over. But, right now, I think we have every chance of defending and drawing our way to safety this season. I don't think we're going to be smashing any teams. Seeing us scoring more than two goals a game, I think is unlikely. Getting one goal a game and then locking up at the back is probably the best we can hope for. So that's it. I'm not too despondent. I still think we've got enough to get through, but I'm really worried about the summer and the transfer window. I don't know how we're going to address that, and I don't quite trust that the club's got the setup to actually do it either. But onwards and upwards. Let's hope the game at Huddersfield is a very valuable 3 points, because that could see us over the line, in my opinion. All right, mate. Take care. All the best.
Hi, Nick. Matt Richards here. Just giving my thoughts on yesterday. Sorry, it's a bit late. I didn't get back till about 10 o'clock last night. I see a lot of comments online and stuff like that about how appalling it was and it's disgraceful and stuff like that. And I'm a bit surprised about that kind of reaction. I think I get it for the result, because we should be going up there. We shouldn't be losing. And, they've got an appalling record. And, it's only the fourth game they've won this year, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think that's not the worst Millwall performance I've seen in a million years, even this season, And I think we just need to kind of calm down in the fact of the performance. I thought the result was terrible, and where we are, 4 points now because of the other results going against us. I get the reaction, the initial reaction. I don't know what it looked like on TV. But yeah, at the game yesterday, you know, the first half an hour, that was where it was like nothing really happened, and that was the frustrating part. We didn't impose ourselves, but you've got to remember they're fighting for their lives, but that's the key thing. They fought more than we did in the first half an hour, and that's not what you expect from or any Millwall team, but obviously especially under Harris. But you know, you can't blame Harris because it's down to the players on the pitch. But the first half an hour, you know, that's when we kind of, if we'd imposed ourselves and played it around and made the challenges and, you know, early, yeah, it's a cliche, early goal, and, you know, it would have been a different kettle of fish, wouldn't it? But we didn't. But towards the end of the half, you know, Zeeland's shot, and Cooper had a header, which he should have scored, you know, and these are the key moments. But it's brilliant save by the keeper from Zeeland, you know, so you can't, you know, what a game he had, the keeper. Shows you, you know, what a game he had, that he was man of the match. And that's why I want to come back to about the performance, because in the second half, we're just all over them, dominant. You know, how many chances did we have? You know, and how did we not score? I can't think of any like howlers that you think, wow, you know, he's got to score there. Okay, you know, you've got to take those chances, but there weren't like stupid misses. How many shots we had, I lost count. But that's, you know, we were absolutely all over them, and it was a matter of time. So, you know, that's what I just want to say when you think about thoughts we've had, when we've had but barely one shot on target. We haven't had one shot on target in games. You know, that wasn't the case yesterday. And it wasn't the case on Friday either. We're creating chances. So just performance-wise, it wasn't the worst performance. Okay, poor defending. But I've looked back at the goals, and yeah, it could have done better. You know, we're pushing forward for the first one. That's the concern. But we're pushing forward, so you kind of think, well, at least we're going for it. We weren't sitting back, content to get a 0-0, and then content to get a 1-1 as well. So you could say it's poor game management. But what do people want? People say they want excitement, and then the team's pushing forward, trying to score goals. And then they let a goal in, and it's like, oh, shit, game management. And it's like, you know, I think you've got to cut the team a bit of slack there. It's gutting to lose, and I thought, from in, I'm 100 yards down the other side of the pitch, I thought it was a push on Tanganga. I was sure the referee, I didn't even get, like, too pissed off when it went in. I thought, oh, well, it's going to blow up. And he didn't blow up. But, yeah, so it's just really, obviously, I think it's the frustration everyone's got, and I get that, you know, because we were just a couple of points away from safety. Now we've been dragged back into it. We've got a huge six-pointer Saturday. And we've got Leicester are fighting for, you know, obviously the promised land at the other end of the table. So they're going to be up for it. Two really tough games. It'd just be like Millwall, don't we? End up, we get 6 points for them, don't we? And then everyone's wondering what we're worrying about. That's typical Millwall. But I think we've got to take today's performance, at least a half an hour anyway, before half-time and into the second half forward, and think, well, this is how we can play. We can create chances. We will score chances. You know, we've got nobody else on the bench who's going to have a better chance of scoring chances. You know, there's nobody on the bench. So we've got to stick with them. And I think there will be a reaction. You know, Neil Harris won't be happy with that result. You know, we all know how passionate he is. And I don't think the players will be happy with the result either. No one will be. So it's almost a good result to have before you have such an important game, if that makes sense. Obviously, Huddersfield are going to be up for it as well. It's going to be a fight. And this is when we've really got to battle. We've really got to show, you know, the Millwall-ness. I mean, yesterday was a Millwall-ness performance, wasn't it? Or result, rather. That is, we've got our Millwall back. Yeah, it never went away. It's always there. Yeah, anyway, that's it, Nick. Let's be positive and come on, you lads.
Big thank you, Matt. And before Matt to Glenn, I do like that line about we've got our Millwall back, Matt. That's very good. I like that because, yes, we do have our Millwall back with performances like that at Rotherham, don't we? Interesting points, both, actually. I've picked a few out here. The social media thing's an interesting one, Matt, and I kind of agree. I mean, I'm an avid user of social media doing this, you know, acting. I try and combine a bit of humour with a bit of biting social satire and comment on our dear little club. But I'm not sure, in general, I don't know if you'd agree with this, dear listeners, I'm not sure it's done the world any good, really, social media. It kind of turns every question, whether it be politics, sports, or the football in our particular case, but, you know, you name the subject, it turns it into a kind of everything's a battle and everything's a war, and not every question has a black and white answer. And if we're talking about Millwall, because that's the point and purpose of our podcast here, I think you're right about calming down, Matt. You know, we still have six games to go this season. The result was very disappointing, and in real time I thought Tanganga had been pushed for that second goal, the crucial winner, as it turned out to be, for Rotherham. And the referee I thought was poor anyway, but how many times have we said that, dear listeners? Social media promotes extreme reactions. People click and look at anyone, whatever your viewpoint, where you're starting from, whatever direction in life, politics, sports, whatever you want, it favours the outrage. And I don't think it's been terribly good for us all, to be truthful. But well done for going there, Matt. Before, Matt, we listened to Glyn, and interesting post actually from Glyn there, talking about scouting. Now, that's a really interesting question, Glyn. And the need for a club like ours, as we've seen with others that have achieved high standing, talking about Luton, we're talking about even to some level Brentford and Bournemouth, all of whom have got some money behind them. I do accept in Brentford and Bournemouth's case, I've had a few bob put into them. But anyway, you know, these are clubs that have historically inhabited the third and fourth divisions, the leagues one and two in modern money. And yet there they are up at the top. Now, the method of getting to that point is to find talent and buy it cheap and sell it dear, isn't it? I don't think there's any great secret to it in that sense. There is a great secret in the sense of executing that. Scouting's crucial, Glyn, absolutely crucial. Developing the young players we have and producing them to a point where we can sell them for hopefully a substantial profit is going to be where long-term the future of our club lies. Do we have the management infrastructure to achieve that? I don't know. We are a club that struggles with some pretty basic, simple things sometimes, on the pitch and off the pitch. Finding talent to run a company. You know, most of the listeners listening to this show will be working in the world of business or whatever you like. But finding, you don't need me to tell you that finding decent quality management and staff is gold dust, and much easier said than actually done. Do we have the infrastructure and the talent to find players for that kind of development of our club? Don't know. What do you think, listeners? Do you see the evidence of it? There we are. Big thank you to Glyn and Matt for their two posts there. I appreciate them both. We're going to play out now. We're going to play out with Lawrence Binney. And the last time Lawrence came on this show, he started talking about the Bourbon Restoration and French post-French Revolutionary Society. I've knocked all that on the head, Lawrence. Not enough of that. This is not the show for that, mate. I do enjoy it, though. It is the show for it, really. So we're going to listen to Lawrence. Then we're going to go with Adam Wicks. And then we're going to finally play out with the cult figure that is Mr. Bobby T. You've been waiting all show for Bobby's post. It's going to come at the end of the next 1, 2, 3 posts. So first Lawrence, then Adam, and then finally Bobby T. I want to say thank you to you, listeners, for tuning into this voicemail show. I love doing these voicemail shows. You might be able to tell by the vim and bounce in my voice. I do enjoy them. Keep them coming. I can't watch next Saturday's game because I'm tied up with a family event, but I will be trying to do some kind of review show on the Sunday. So I need you, listeners, I need you to send me your voice notes next week, particularly Huddersfield, because you know, I'm going to be doing my best to produce something that is for your listening enjoyment, your aural enjoyment. So send me your post-match reviews after next Huddersfield, next Saturday's crucial game. Anyway, let's play it out now. Lawrence, Adam, and then Bobby. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. Until the next edition of Achtung Millwall, from me and St Achtung, it's arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Hi Nick, Lawrence Binney calling after Rotherham 2, Millwall 1. Very disappointing result. I think there's a certain line, I think, at the moment going around the forums and on Twitter that we should have won that by 4 or 5. And I think certainly we created enough chances to win by 4 or 5. But what I will say is that this is possibly the worst Championship team in history. That's been losing 4 or 5 nil for weeks. They are going to concede chances. I think a good performance would have been one that had a measure of control and composure, and we really did lack that today. There was a lot of kind of chaotic football, a lot of throwing balls into the box, which I think is fine. But we also didn't really, we never really kind of took control in the way that I think we should have done. Always felt that we were a bit vulnerable on the break. We're not used to taking the initiative and kind of pinning sides back. And it showed today. We looked very uncomfortable whenever we didn't have the ball. And it would often take us a little while to win it back and get a move going again. Yeah, created loads from pinging balls into the box. But yeah, it's the quality in certain areas, isn't it? I mean, the likes of Fleming and Obafemi, I think today really have to kind of like bear some responsibility, I think. Because their specialism is in the final third, whether it be that sort of that finish or that final pass. And aside from the Fleming shot, which was, to be fair, was a fantastic shot, well saved by Johansson in the first half. Just, you know, we just didn't look sharp enough, I didn't think. It was all very desperate. And this is my fear about Neil Harris football, that I think we do well on the back foot and when we're up against it. But whenever we have to take the initiative, it's desperate, isn't it? It's not high on quality at all. And you'll say, oh well, you know, we haven't got the players, but I mean, we've got fucking far better players than Rotherham. You know, if that was a League One fixture, then I think you'd expect us to play with a higher degree of quality than we showed today, especially in those sort of key areas. So, yeah, a disappointing result. Maybe one that makes the end of the season slightly more interesting because, especially if we lose against Huddersfield, we are slap bang back in it. My one fear now is that our confidence suffers. You know, another kind of pressure cooker game against Huddersfield at the weekend. Lose that and we could really sort of spiral into some bad form at just the wrong time. So we'll see how it goes. Should have won, but not a good performance for me. No. Cheers, Nick. Bye.
Hello, Nick. It's just Adam Wicks here, leaving my thoughts after the 2-1 defeats at Rotherham. I normally hold fire a little bit before sending anything in because sometimes I need to calm down or just to sort of arrange my thoughts correctly in my head, but I don't think today's one of those days, to be fair. That was pretty awful, I think, what we've all just seen. I think you only have to look at the table. We've lost to a team with a nearly minus 50 goal difference that before today had only won 3 games all season. And I know it's predictable as clockwork that whenever we tend to play teams like this, we tend to do this sort of thing. But there's got to be some questions asked about why this continually happens, because it just smacks of total unprofessionalism. We seem to play up or down to the level of the team we're playing. I mean, we look great against West Brom, I thought, but today I thought we looked every part a bottom three side. We just weren't joined up. we just don't have a clue going forward, I don't think. It's really disappointing. And now we've put ourselves right back in the mix again. We could have been almost home and hosed today if we'd won, which the game was there to be won. We had the chances to win. We didn't even try that hard and we had the chances to win. I mean, imagine what we could have done if we'd actually applied ourselves professionally. Really, really bad. I mean, there's players in that team that might think they can do better than us, but I think they're probably exactly where they should be, looking at the majority of them. It's a real shame. You know, we've got a massive game at Huddersfield now. I mean, God only knows what happens if we don't at least stop them beating us. Bit of a roller coaster, this, isn't it? I thought we were going to be comfortable, you know, to a degree. But now I think it's going to be squeaky bums, isn't it? I think. How Tanganga missed that header before they scored the first goal, God only knows. He had half the goal to aim at and he still managed to find the keeper. Just some absolutely brain dead football. I don't know, we've got to find some balls from somewhere. Quick. And the worrying thing for me is we're playing exactly the sort of teams we probably don't want to be playing. Because again, we'll go to Huddersfield, we won't have enough to break them down as such or be creative, and they'll get a bit of confidence, and I can just see things going tits up from here, culminating in a real few nervy games towards the end of the season. That Plymouth game could be massive, looking at it now, the way they're dropping like a stone as well. I'm really angry having watched that. Really angry and I'm really disappointed in the application. I said to my kids in the first half, it looks like we're being outfought here and they've really got nothing to play for. But they, you know, they fought harder, I thought, than we were fighting first half. Second half, we got hold of things, created a few decent opportunities, but nothing. You know, we weren't exactly incisive. Let in a terrible goal. Harris makes some changes. We score from one of our many scrambled corners, and then just let in another equally awful goal. I mean, the defending for both those goals is been really appalling. That's enough rambling from me, I think. So on to Huddersfield, and God, we need to find a performance from somewhere. The players need to find some spine, and really need to dig in and, I don't want to say it, but find some of the dreaded Millwallness. Anyway, come on, you Lions.
Bobby T here. Absolutely dog shit, embarrassing, shocking, useless fucking Millwall cunts, right? Yeah. Bipolar Millwall, Nick. I don't care what you say. We are in the dog shit now. Bottom of the club, Rotherham. Couldn't even beat them. We are fucked now. No fight. Fucking lost 2-1. I am hurt, fuming. Bobby T out. Nick Hart, Bobby T here again. How the fuck has this happened? Denor coming back in the side, Billy Mitchell. Careful what you wish for, mate. Because Billy Mitchell runs around like a dog on heat. Rotherham, I'm just absolutely shocked here and flabbergasted that we've lost to the bottom side of the league. Bipolar Millwall, it's the same old shit now. Now Huddersfield next week, they win. Leicester are not going to get anything. We're going to be in the bottom three with the last four games to go. Only ourselves to blame, man. I don't care. We can't buy a striker. Should have beat West Brom last week. Rotherham, we all knew we never played good against the bottom sides. Same old Millwall. I'm really done now, Nick T. I'm fucking fuming. What else can we say? It's not Harris's fault. He picked the team. He got. Oh, my God. Bye for now. One more, Nick T. Is it April Fool's Day? Am I in a fucking dream? We've lost to Rotherham. Fucking hell, mate. Gutted.
Preston, Millwall.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.